The Pacific is bracing itself for another cyclone season. Why is UN Women ensuring that women and girls are at the center of disaster preparedness?
Disasters, unfortunately, are what I'd call the new normal in the Pacific. We're seeing, much greater frequencies, so the number of cyclones and disasters, but also the intensity, particularly of the cyclones. If you look at, we had Cyclone Pam, the next year we had Cyclone Winston, and we're now in the current cyclone season, really kind of touch wood, holding on tight, hoping for the best. In terms of women's empowerment and gender equality, which is the mandate of UN Women, I would say we have to work in this area, in the Pacific, because of our reality. I mean, this is happening. These cyclones, these disasters keep coming, and women aren't equal in the impacts of disasters. So we've got to do something about it as UN Women and with our partners, governments, and civil society.
And what do you mean by that women aren't equal in terms of the impact?
So some studies have shown women are, more than 14 times more likely to be injured or killed in a disaster. They're not studies particularly from the Pacific, but we have found unequal impacts on women in terms of survival rates and injuries in the Pacific as well. But a lot of this is rooted in gender inequality and harmful social norms that exist, at any time, not just when there's a disaster. For instance, after a disaster, you'll often see an increase in gender-based violence, violence against women and girls. Women and girls often have unequal access to food and to items that are being distributed after a disaster. They'll lose economic opportunities in an unequal way and have an increased workload beyond what they already have in a pre-disaster time.
And with women, if you're advocating women also to be first responders, that will that help their families as well as themselves?
Absolutely. Women are first responders. I mean, in our book, women and girls are not here as passive bystanders and victims who are vulnerable. There are increased vulnerabilities, and that's part of our analysis and the way that we work. But we're also looking at women as leaders in their communities, which they are, but increasing those opportunities when it comes to disaster preparedness, response, and recovery. To get those voices at the table. If we don't have women planning for disaster response, if we don't have women at the table, women making decisions in a disaster response, we're not going to reach women and girls in an equal way.
And what other examples of concrete actions are you encouraging within the communities and member states of the Pacific?
So there's a big shift in the Pacific and different parts of the world. To really move away from when there's a disaster, all these internationals fly in and kind of rescue people and take over and fix it. I mean, that's not often the reality, and that's also not a good idea. We have strong, competent, capable Pacific Islanders in these countries where we're working with. It's their nation, it's their country. They are in charge of it in peace times, and when there's a disaster, they're also really in control of the response. So it's very much, from my perspective, about what capacity can we work together to develop over time, within the countries that we're working, also within the women's organizations, the women's groups. So really for them to understand what happens when there's a disaster, also including that kind of international sphere. For an example, there's often the cluster system is used in a disaster response for coordination. If women's organisations in that country don't know what that is, they can't get to that meeting and they can't sit there and be part of informing the decisions that are made on terms of where goods are distributed or how we do the assessment of people's needs. So what UN Women work with other partners on is really training these groups so that they can understand how these meetings go, what the issues are, what some of the terminology is, and how to get that voice there in a way that will be effective and that people will listen to.
So if the women know about the meetings, does that mean that their stories after disasters will affect policy? If a woman finds, for example, if a woman finds herself with her children after a cyclone and they don't have access to, or even before, don't have access to shelter through a cyclone or access to food after a cyclone or medical help, is that the type of things that you want them to be able to affect policy?
Absolutely. I mean, policy is often in that preparedness phase. So we work with a range of governments and women's groups in the countries of the Pacific to make sure that the disaster policies are actually gender appropriate. So to get those voices of the women's groups into that policy dialogue, if they're having a national disaster policy being developed, for example, that's something that we might be involved in ourselves as UN Women, but also our role is very much to facilitate, to ensure that those groups are able to participate in that process and to advocate to the government for that. Once you're in the response phase, so you've had a big disaster, and you're having these kind of emergency meetings of planning the food distribution, that kind of thing, it's very important that we're looking at gender, that we're looking at rights, we're looking at equality, and we're looking at access. For example, people with disabilities, women with disabilities, if food's being distributed on the side of the road, what about people who can't get to the road? So this is the kind of thing that we look at ourselves and that we train partners to also be advocating for. I mean, our women's groups, they're experts in women's rights in their context, but sometimes they're not at that table. So it's very important to get them to the decision-making table so that they can be talking about, okay, well, distribution routes, let's look at this, let's keep this in mind. What if a woman up the hill in her home and she can't get down the road to get the rice on the side of the road because she's taking care of injured people up the hill, taking care of elderly, taking care of children. What can we do to ensure that she has equal access?
And just one last question. Do you think that these policies with input from women's groups, do you think that it will have the capacity of change to save lives and prevent injuries?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it comes down to equality, and equality will save lives in terms of if we're looking at if you have women who are more vulnerable to the impacts of these disasters, which they are in the Pacific, if we can address that inequality, then we're going to address that increased impact that they're currently experiencing.